Here in Psalm 120, we have a lament about the pain caused by lying lips and a deceitful tongue. And what will be given to you? What will be done to you, you deceitful tongue? Verse 3. Verse 4, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. And juniper was used to make charcoal, and so the idea is the hottest fire and sharp arrows. Well, this seems to be saying that those who have got a bad tongue will be destroyed with intense heat and with arrows being fired into them. And in a sense, so it is. But there is an ambiguity there in verse 4. He just says, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Is this a description of the tongue, or is this a description of the judgment to come upon those tongues? And I suggest it's both. I believe that all the Psalms are written by David, but they were later rewritten under inspiration, or nearly all of them, maybe not Psalm 90, 91, but nearly all of them were written by David, and rewritten later on under inspiration at different points in Israel's history. Well, the house of Saul are described by David twice in Psalm 57, Psalm 64, as having tongues like sharp arrows. And the idea of the tongue being a sharp instrument, an arrow, is quite common. And so these tongues, sure, were sharp arrows, and they could cause the intense fire and heat that's caused by coals of juniper, which, as I say, were used to make charcoal. The idea is intense searing heat. This is the pain that is done by words, and we can easily underestimate that. We can assume that I am just a little person, I have no power in this life at all. But you do, because you have a tongue in your head, and you have fingers which you can use on a keyboard. And those words we say have power, have huge power. And this is why somebody, let's say a man who's very wealthy and has got billions maybe, and is operating on a global level in the very highest echelons of business life, the guy may be married to a woman who's maybe a simple soul, but is very sharp with her tongue, and she can reduce him to absolutely nothing when the guy's got all the power in the world. This is the power of language. This is the power of the tongue. And that is why there is so much in the Bible about watching our words. By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned, Jesus says. As if the day of judgment will involve a sort of a playback, a recording of our words and playing them back. You know, you said this? Did you not? You know, and by our words we shall be justified or condemned. But back to my point, verse 4 just reads baldly and rather strangely, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Well, is this talking about the judgment to come upon bad tongues, or is it talking about the tongues themselves? And it's intentionally like that, it's talking about both. James 3 verse 6, the tongue is a fire. So, the idea is that the tongue that is as a searing heat and a sharp arrow in someone else's life and heart, that is what will happen to it. Our words call for our own condemnation, as the prophets make quite clear, as the Psalms make clear, as the Proverbs make clear, as James states, as Jesus states. Our words have power, and they have the power of condemning us. Now, David is here, I believe, and as I say, in the first instance, this is David. He's complaining about people with deceitful tongues. And I guess he would have been referring to Saul, and then later to Doeg. The same language about Doeg's deceitful tongue is found in Psalm 52, and about Ahithophel. Hezekiah, later on, might have had in mind the mouth of Rabshakeh, and the exiles might have had in view the words of Haman. But let's start with David. He says he can't stick deceitful tongues, and this, that, and the other is going to happen to you, you deceitful tongue. So what he means is not that the physical little bit of muscle called the tongue is going to have all this happening to it. It means this is going to happen to the deceitful person who uses their tongue in this way. But the tongue is thereby put for the person. What shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? What he means is, what should be done to you, you person who uses your tongue in this way? So the tongue is the person. We are our words. And so it is with God. The Word was God. God's tongue, if you like, his words are him. And your words are you. And again, we have to remind ourselves that we're not talking simply about the words that come out of our mouths, but what we write on screens, the messages we send, etc. This is all, in our age, the tongue. And yet David himself, who's so hurt by other people's language and deceit in their tongues, David himself, what did he do? Was he exactly honest with his tongue? Not at all. Look at how he deceived Uriah. Look at the awful way in which he used his tongue and the things that he wrote or got written for the message to go to Joab to get Uriah killed. And the way he made out he was interested in how the fighting was going and how he made out that he was, well, sort of philosophical about the death of Uriah when he'd planned it, etc. This was all deceit. And again, it is a warning that as we judge, so we will be judged. And we really have to take this matter of the tongue far more seriously. Every single one of us, surely, can accept that exhortation.